Well,
happy
birthday,
you
scumbag.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank
you. What are you? What are you? 36?
37.
Oh, dear.
37.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, catching you.
You really? All right?
We ain't catching Rico, but I'm catching you, Mike.
No.
I thought you were right there.
Really?
We're getting there.
That's a hard 37.
37, yeah. It's been a rough 37, boys.
Jesus.
A rough 37.
Country miles. Well, welcome in for your birthday fiesta. So we've asked a question. I want to know where you're at with it.
All right.
Which team are we going to learn the most about this week? Between Lions, Michigan, and Michigan State.
Oh, I think the Lions. Yeah, I think we know. Well, you know, I think we have a better feeling of what Michigan and Michigan State are. Michigan State, start with them. Looks like a team that, you know, could surprise some people and maybe play a little bit better. But probably, it's to me, still looks like maybe a 7-win team. Michigan, I feel like I know what they are. I feel like, you know, they're going to be lucky to get to 8.
Oh, you've been negative since day one.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, you lose. And look, it's you lose that many starters. You lose that many key players. You don't have impact players at key positions, quarterback, offensive line. The defense certainly hasn't been, you know, anywhere as good enough as we hoped they were going to be. I think we know what they are. I think we know that they're probably, if they're lucky, an 8-win team as well. I'm more interested in finding out what the Lions are. I know the stats and, you know, last 30 games or whatever it is, they haven't lost back-to-back games. Well, that's in the past. Like, that doesn't translate year to year. You know what I mean? You still got to go out there, and I feel like you still got to kind of form an identity on offense, right?
Last week was the damn football.
Yeah, you got to start running it. Last week was, you know, it was, I'm not going to say it was bad, but because you look at the stat sheet and we out-sacked them 5-0, right? We outgained them by more than double. We kept them to 216 yard. You look at that without looking at the scoreboard and you're saying, oh my gosh, it's a blowout. The bottom line is the situation of football was just bad, right? The turnovers, you had 3 2-minute drives, you got 0 points combined. The red zone we know was atrocious. That to me is not something that you can just flip a switch and okay, we're going to focus this week on the red zone, because you do it every single week. So you know, you guarantee Arizona's going to give you a lot of the same looks you saw last week and what you saw against the Rams. And I'm more interested in to see how they're going to respond. They've got a lot of really talented players, we know that, but something's just been off with this offense. The defenses look good, we've talked about that, but something's just not clicking right now. And I think I talked about it Monday. This isn't a knock on the other receivers by any means, but I think Jared Goff personally is missing Josh Reynolds a little bit. I know Lions fans, you know, their last memory of Josh Reynolds was the NFC Championship game with a couple drop passes, but he was a big part of this offense on third down and in the red zone and making plays when you had to have him. I don't think he has that trust really in the number three receiver right now. So
see, it's funny because
that's just going to take time. He had years of reps with Josh Reynolds going back to his Rams days.
See, I didn't think it could be that simple as just there's no Reynolds here. It's like, you know, it can't be that. It's got to be something else. But you think it could just be that simple?
I do. Well, because I think there were so many times last year in a big third down or even a red zone where, you know what, I know the coverage, we're out leveraged, or, you know, maybe it's not the ideal formation for what we want to run, but I've hit this pass so many times to this guy, I know where he's going to be. I'm not saying that they're not doing that right now, but I think that when you have 4, 5, 6 years of trust and chemistry with a certain guy, that's hard to duplicate. And certainly, I think they're going to get there eventually. I just don't think they've been there throughout the first two games.
Then can I ask a question? Just, I'm asking, then why didn't you just pay the damn guy?
I mean,
I'm asking, I mean, if well, you're all you know, in, and if you're right, I don't know that you are, I'm asking,
yeah,
if he's that important, why the hell didn't you just pay the damn guy?
It's a good question. I mean, I don't know, and I'm not sitting here saying, you know, Josh Reynolds was some all-pro type guy.
No, I know exactly what you're saying. Look, he was the ultimate third down security blanket.
He was the ultimate security blanket for Jared Goff. Maybe not for, you know, be a key piece of you want to build your offense around, but I think that him and Goff had a certain chemistry that you just haven't been able to duplicate yet. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but yet with some of these new guys, Tim Patrick, and we know, you know, Khalif Raymond's been kind of the de facto number three receiver. I don't think they want to put him as a number three receiver. They want to use him more on special teams and have him as a gadget type guy. I don't think they want to be putting Khalif out there for 50 snaps a game. They're going to have to if they can't find anybody else. But that was, you know, Mike,
it works, David. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, that's what all the whispering was going about?
Well, we had a technology issue, and with the picks looming this hour.
And you really needed that drop.
Thank you. Okay. Here. It's your birthday.
Wait till break.
Get there.
That, you know, and go back to your question, Mike. That was one of the key concerns, I think, in the offseason, right? How are you going to address the receiver position? Because the rest of the team looked like it really didn't have many holes in it outside of that depth receiver spot. And, you know, they brought in Tim Patrick, who seemed like he was getting acclimated last week, and Allen Robinson, who's been on the practice squad. So they need to speed one of those guys up when it comes to Jameson's kind of the deep guy. Amon-Ra's getting coverage underneath. Laporta still kind of catching his feet a little bit from the training camp injury. You need somebody else in there that can just, you get one-on-one coverage, can take advantage of opportunities, and can build that trust with the quarterback.
TJ, it looks like the Lions have kind of been playing catch-up, where first game, you didn't really see anything with Amon-Ra. It was all J-Mo. Last week, it was okay. It's going to be St. Brown's turn. It almost seems like, where's Laporta? Is this a Laporta-type game where it's going to be his 2024 breakout game?
That's hard to say. I mean, because like the coaches, I don't think he's hurt, but I think that they have a history of, if you miss training camp and you're unavailable in the preseason, that we can't just throw you back in there and expect things to just pick off where they were, you know, week 18 of last year. Like, that's not how it works, right? And I think Coach even admitted that, where, you know, he's been banged up a little bit. It's hard, you know, coming out of training camp. How many reps are we going to give him? Do we know what kind of workload he can handle? We put in this big game plan for him, and all of a sudden, 10 plays in, he's out. We got to change everything. You know what I mean? Those are just issues you don't want to be going through on Sunday. But I think maybe the first two games, they needed to see if he could handle the workload that they were giving him. And, you know, nothing hasn't been on the injury report. And also, I think this could be a week where maybe if they were holding something back just because they weren't sure about the availability, where you say, okay, well, he's got two solid games in now. You know, he's given us 75% of the snaps in the first two games. We think he's ready to finally handle the workload and be maybe that lead guy in some of the key situations, the third down and back to that red zone target that he was a big part of last year. So I think he could. I think they're definitely going to try to involve him more. But to be the focal point, it's hard to say because you've got guys like Amon-Ra that needs the ball. You're a better team when he touches the ball 10 times. You're a better team when you're able to take the top off the defense with Jameson Williams. You're a better team when you can get the ball to Jahmyr Gibbs in space. And we all know they're a better team when you can run the ball. So it's hard to say, you know, this is this guy's week to get all the targets in and go dominate.
You're a better team, but when you get in the red zone, you're not. Because all those guys had, you know, great games. You know, Amon-Ra had, you know, his 10 catches last week. You didn't win the game. You scored 16 points.
Yeah.
When you get in the red zone, that's money time for Laporta, and it's like, I guess that's why I expect to see him more, and I haven't seen that in the first
game. Yeah, the red zone was tough last week, and you know what? Going back and watching the film again, I mean, I know Ben Johnson and Dan Campbell said, we got to run the ball in the red zone, right? No duh. You have to run the ball. Everything tightens up. The safeties are a little bit closer, but in my mind, you can't wait till you get to the red zone to start running the ball. Offensive linemen, running backs, you need to get into a rhythm. You need to understand how the defense is flowing. You need to understand, okay, hey, maybe we're trying to stretch the ball, but it's getting limited. Hey, guys, we're going to start cutting it back when we get down in here. I think 13 of the first 15 plays last week were passing plays, right? So the run game's not just something, hey, we crossed the 20, boom, now we're going to run it. No, you got to get into a rhythm early, especially with this team. That's your identity. So I think there's times where coaches kind of outsmart themselves going into games saying, you know what? Hey, man, this Tampa D-line or their front seven, really hard to run the ball, so we're just going to come out and make it a completion game. You can also lose track of, we've got one of the best offensive lines. We've got one of the best 1-2 punches at running back. Why don't we go try to, we're at home, why do we not go try to establish the line of scrimmage, run the ball early until they show us that they can stop it? But the one fix I think I got that was a constant in the red zone was the first down plays. And I charted them. First down, first and 10, incomplete pass. First and 10, 0-yard run. First and 10, 1-yard reception. And then the next two first and 10s you had, minus 4-yard run, minus 4-yard pass. Now you're in second and longs. There's no threat to run the ball. So you're going to get seven guys dropping. We know if you got four guys out on the route, there ain't going to be many holes. And no disrespect to Jared Goff. We've seen him use his wheels a little bit the last couple games. if you don't have a mobile quarterback that can extend plays down in the red zone and find guys open and get guys into the holes once you start getting out of the pocket like Kyler Murray does, it's really tough to convert in the passing game when you're backed up second and 16. So I think one of the big keys this week in the red zone, first down, you got to be able to pick up half and at least keep the threat of a run on second and third down. They didn't do that enough last week.
What do you I want to ask this the right way so it doesn't sound like I'm being negative. What do you make of Jack Campbell?
I think Jack's still a young player. I think Jack flashes a lot, but I think Jack might get lost a little bit at times.
Yeah,
right?
Snap count wise, I mean, he's clearly the third backer.
Yeah.
Like, he's just not. I wanted your take. I go long stretches and I go, does this guy play for this team?
I think he does. I'm not giving up on Jack Campbell.
I didn't say give up.
I still see flashes, and I still am realistic to say this is a young player that just continues to need. He needs to continue just to get reps and understand things. And I think sometimes you can tell for young guys that get lost at times, like they're thinking too much, right? I got to go here. I got to go. Sometimes you just got to settle down, right? Just stay in your spot. Stay in your zone. I saw the one play last week where it was the busted coverage where they scored the touchdown on Chris Godwin. I saw people giving Jack Campbell, you know, hell for that. Let me set it straight. In no world, in any level of football, would you have a linebacker covering deep third, okay? So I would say that was not on Jack Campbell. He was the closest guy to Chris Godwin. That wasn't his responsibility. So maybe that's a play that people are looking at. But I
think what Mike is trying to say is, when will we see that first-round selection?
Yeah, I mean,
like, you can't beat Derek Barnes and Anzalone out. I drafted you first. You got to be better than one of them.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I think that with Anzalone, he's clearly the number one guy at that position.
He never leaves the field, TJ.
He never leaves the field. We don't know what his availability is going to be this weekend. I'm assuming, you know, probably 4 o'clock we'll get the injury report. But probably going to be a questionable type player. If he's out, I think that's where you see Jack Campbell step in and maybe get 60 plays this game against Arizona. But yeah, I think you're right. I'm not going to say that the clock's ticking out on Jack Campbell, but you'd like to see a little bit more consistency.
That was all.
I do still think he is a very physical presence in the middle. He's definitely a lot better in the run game than he has been in coverage,
yes.
Right? But I think that's probably the hardest step for a lot of young linebackers to take at the NFL level, is keeping up with the speed, staying in your zone, being disciplined, not letting the quarterback, not letting his eyes dictate where you want to jump to, but being disciplined. I think it takes a while for some of these guys to really understand the pass coverage and the meshes and just feeling where your buddy's supposed to be, trusting your teammates. Because I think even on the first drive, Tampa clearly blew an assignment. They had two guys run the same over route earlier.
Yeah, they were right next to each other.
And I think Jack just kind of, you could tell he's reading the quarterback's eyes, and he kind of jumped to his left. If he just feels the presence of the guys to his left, he knows, okay, I got help over there. I can lean a little bit more right. Maybe that's where the, you know, the big plays start to come from.
All right, we'll get to your phone calls. I want to ask you about U of M. I have a theory on what they can do to, like, not be terrible. I want you to tell me.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Okay, I'm going to offer it.
You got more hope than I do then.
We'll get to it next. All right, so before I get to the phones, TJ with us, the birthday bonanza, let me sell you this pen. Here is why I am not totally bailing on Michigan. I know Rico has, TJ has, David has, and Kenny never respected y'all in the first place because he's Paul Feinbaum with a beard. So let's just do this.
I see the similarities.
Absolutely. The move to Alex Orji. TJ, I am, and this is not about what Moore will do. This is should versus will. I'm asking you, if Michigan simply, much like when Lamar went to the Ravens and Greg Roman midstream, deconstructed the offense and said, okay, this is what it's going to be now. Take what Gus Malzahn is doing at Central Florida and what he used to do at Auburn with Cam. Mm. And we're talking about, in essence, a wildcat offense.
Mm-hmm.
Your quarterback run is what everything is built on. So 12 to 14 carries for Orji, that wildcat, constant jet motion, pound the rock with your two running backs, extra linemen, extra tight end, and then you have to spoon feed him 12, 13, 14 throws. A couple of them are going to be shot plays.
Yeah.
A couple, you pray to God this kid can move the sticks.
One read throws.
Right. Yeah. Is that insane of me to say, look, if you condense this down, like service academies, the number 7 is what they live on. Not touchdowns, possessions. That if they play right, they make it a 7-possession game. and you lean on your defense to get the other team off the field a little bit, and it's ugly, but you can win. Is that crazy?
Well, I'm going to be nice because it's my birthday. I'm in a good mood. I'm not going to call you insane.
Call me insane.
I've thought about this myself, but I go back to the fact where if you had this offense, you know, implemented in training camp or all summer long, and you still decided your best offense was Davis Warren, how am I supposed to go into this week with Alex Orji expecting anything to be better? Your coaches made a decision that this team is better with Davis Warren as our quarterback than whatever we've seen with Alex Orji and the offense and the run option or whatever they've been doing in training camp and all summer. Davis Warren was a better option. So I look at it and say, if you're going to turn it around and you have any hope to do so, why would you, if you thought it was going to work, why would you wait till week four to do it? Right? So that's kind of what I'm thinking. And the other part of me is, I just don't think this offensive line is good enough to run the ball 50, 55 times like they were last year. They're not moving guys off the rock. Donovan Edwards is just running into people. I think it's pretty clear, and I'm not, you know, not trying. I think we can all agree here. Khalil Mullins is a better running back than Donovan Edwards is. Donovan Edwards, now, when everything was blocked up perfect and you got him up to the second and third level, man, and that hole was, you know, 8 yards wide, hell yeah, he looked like a Heisman running back. But when stuff's not going good now and you got to break a tackle, Khalil Mullins looks like your guy. So I just, I'm like, I'm not trying to call you insane, Rico. I'm not trying to cut you off.
No, I want you to.
It's
okay.
I think if they had any chance to be that type of offense, we would have seen it week one.
Okay.
And not week four when Davis Warren.
You understand why at least I was trying to create a pathway.
No, I do. And I think that, you know what, they probably spent a lot of time figuring out, okay, Alex Orji, he's thrown 7 career passes, right? We got to put an offense in for him running the ball. You know, the read option or whatever you want to call it, the quarterback sweeps or the dives or the wildcat. They probably, I'm assuming it'd be negligent if they didn't. I'm sure they spent a lot of time doing that in training camp.
Yeah.
And they came out of there saying, Davis Warren gives us a better shot.
Go ahead, Rico.
And we've seen Davis Warren, and there was no way you could roll him back on the field. So now it seems like you're going back to an offense that you really didn't want to run in the first place.
Okay, two things. One is, when I look at this, what is Michigan going to do? Because if you hand it off to Donovan on 2nd and 9, it's probably going to be 3rd and 8. Then what happens with Orji? Can you pick up that first down? Can you then drop back and throw the ball, pick up consistently a 3rd and long? Because if they can keep it at like 3rd and 2, 3rd and 3, then you almost go full Dan Campbell. We're just going to go for it. We'll just keep going because we can outrun you for that sort of space.
But we saw that against Texas. They tried to run Orji, you know, on 3rd and 3 in the red zone. Oh, 0 yard gain. Okay, well, let's just kick a field goal. It's like, if that's going to be your plan, you got to have a 4th down plan, right? If we're going running that on 3rd and 3 out of the Wildcat, we're going for it on 4th down, right? You know what I mean?
But so it's also when you bring the guy in and everybody knows it's like.
How is that going to change this week?
Because if you're in there every play and I'm giving, and again, the jet motion, the counters, you're using 2 running backs. I got extra linemen. There's enough candy pre-snap. I can't just go, hey, alert, alert, alert. Run guy is in.
Yeah. Well, and you know what? You might be asking them to change their entire offense in one week against a pretty damn good team. Now, if you've got you got a bad team.
I'm looking for it.
Throw the damn towel.
Go ahead, TJ.
If you got a bad team coming in, right, and you want to say, hey, we're going to test this out, then that's the time to do it. But you've had a couple bad teams come in throughout the first 3 games and you haven't seen it. So I think you're trying to ask them to run an offense that they either didn't like, you know, throughout the summer that they saw, they probably tried, or they just don't have implemented. And it's just, you got USC on their side too, man. Like, I'm telling you, this offensive line is not good enough, in my opinion, to do that. And I don't think, and I think when you got a team like USC coming in that can score points and be explosive and go up 2 scores in a blink of an eye, then what are you going to do? Keep trying to run the ball, you know, 50 times and get back into it?
No, I didn't say that.
You know what I mean?
There's no scenario their defense doesn't carry the day that they win games.
Yeah. I mean, I could be completely wrong and shocked, but I just think if there was any trust from Sherrone Moore in Alex Orji in the offense that you're describing, we would have seen it. They wouldn't wait till USC in week 4. We would have seen that week one, maybe a little bit, a couple drives of it. We damn sure would have seen it against Texas, right? Because that's your big game to start the season off. So I think it's unrealistic, and I'm not going to say insane, Mike, because I do think it is a right, it's a proper concept in your thought, but I think if they trusted that, they would have never rolled Davis Warren out in the first place.
TJ, here's the other thing that I ask. Let's just say this experiment doesn't work the way they want to go. Where do you go from here? Because you can't bring Davis Warren back,
no,
can you?
No, there's no way. I mean,
oops, we're sorry.
Right,
my bad.
I was, and I asked, you know, and I know John and Doug are around that program a lot, rightfully so. I remember being in Monday, and off the air, I asked Doug, I said, there's no way you can roll Davis Warren out there again, right? Like, the guy's experiment over. We've seen what we need to see at this level, you know, a team. It depends on what kind of offense you want to run. And I'm like, well, if the other offense was better, why the hell haven't they been doing that the whole time anyways, you know? But no, I don't, you know what? Who's the quarterback, the Jaden Davis? Was that the name, the young kid that you say? Look, if things go off the wall, don't get me wrong, I'm not calling for Jaden Davis to play, but if you try the Alex Orji experiment this weekend, and it just doesn't look right, and he can't throw the ball, and you can't run the ball, you can't run block, I guess you try to stick with it a little bit.
Tunnel
and if
time.
If going done, then you got to, who Jack knows, man? Time. I don't know. But I'm trying not to be too negative. I'm trying to be realistic based off what I've seen the first three games. And I'm not putting it all in the quarterbacks because I do think the offensive line is just not what Michigan's been accustomed to.
If a Wolverine slap like you, is this negative? It tells me everything I need to know.
I don't know if it's negative, if it's just realistic. We all watch the games. No, what am I supposed to sit here and say, the offensive line looks great. They're so close.
You're not allowed to go against the cult. You don't get it. Any form of critique is negative.
Okay, but I think anybody that's been watching the games clearly knows that this is a major drop-off than what we've seen the last couple of years. And you know what? I'm not going to blame it all on Sherrone Moore. I'm not going to blame it all on the players. You lost 20 of 22 starters. You can't just fill in 20 guys and say, let's go win another championship.
You don't know the other team's plays. It's tough.
You're going to have some rough spots. And you know what? Real quick, I know you're about to get a read.
You're fine. Go ahead.
This might be negative and black. That might piss some people off. Orji, when he throws the ball.
What did you just say?
Negative and black. Orji. That's what I heard.
I was going to say blasphemous, okay? I was going to say blasphemous for Michigan fans, which I am one. Alex Orji, when he was throwing the ball last week, looked a lot like young Joe Milton, where your guys are open 50 yards down the field. The only problem is the ball's at like 65. The ball's just gone.
No idea where it's going. Right? None.
So, I couldn't get that image out of my mind when I saw him throw that deep ball to a wide open guy. No, it's just about 12 yards too far.
We'll get your phone calls and ticket text next. Picks at 3:45.
We'll promise to be negative in black.
My mic cut off.
All right, we're going to get to the people because TJ has to collect himself after hearing about that Joel Embiid contract.
$3 million. Oh, my goodness.
Well, he's not a hockey player.
Let's go to Mike, 97.1. Mike, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Happy birthday, TJ.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Appreciate that. Thank you.
And I just read it's Dan Skipper's birthday today, too. But
yes, it is.
To answer your guys' question about I kind of think Michigan State does, because if Michigan State wins, we know Michigan. I'm a big Michigan fan, but we know. I don't think they're very good. I agree with TJ. But if Michigan State wins, they will be 4-0, and they have exceeded all of most people's expectations for, what, 5 or 6 wins. And who do they play next week, Mike, after this Boston College game?
Ohio State. They have OSU, and then Oregon, and then a bye week.
Oh, wow, that's tough. But if they can get to 4-0 and stay competitive in those two games, don't you think that's kind of a program changer? And the Lions, if they lose, it's a long season. I think they'll be all right either way. You know, some teams will get off slow, and I think they'll be fine. But I definitely think this is a huge game for Michigan State.
Yeah, I mean, I wish Nick Marsh were playing, but Rico ruined that. So it really just comes down to, to be able to have 2 road wins in September over Power 5 competition, to be able to be a team who people thought, hey, they're going to win 4 games and be complete ass. Yes, I would say it's a great step forward, but I'm not putting words in Rico's mouth in this regard.
I wish I didn't hit him with my car. So.
I have.
Don't park that close to me next time.
I have no idea what my team is. I don't. I mean, you don't get anything playing Prairie View. Florida Atlantic has turned out to be totally reprehensible. The Maryland game is what we're holding on to. Right. But you need more data. Now, if they win here, would I expect 7 wins by the end of the year? Yes.
You don't get much out of the Prairie View game except for the way you won the game. It was a no-lose type. Like if it was close, you'd be worried.
Or Nick Marsh died.
You went in there and you played and you got things done. Wow, he died? Wow.
I mean, if he ain't on the field, he ain't alive.
R.I.P.
Yes. Yeah, not okay. necessarily true.
In your world.
Over-exaggeration.
So I'm making a point. We need John Chestnut Hill Saturday.
For one
you know
week.
What?
He died for 1 week.
Next man
He'll
up.
Back. He'll be back.
Yeah.
Who's the next man up?
Hey, you're right over there. Right over there. That's the next man up in State's receiver room. It's Kenny Cobb.
You know
with a helmet on backwards.
Of a famous NFL tight end.
Oh, Gates.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, I got quick hands. I'll be all right.
Put me in. I'd love to watch Kenny run one go route. What do you think that would look like? He would definitely fall down at some point.
Weren't we trying to arrange a race between me and TJ last week?
Oh, you don't want that. You don't want that smoke, bro.
I know I don't.
Well, okay, how long are we talking?
Like, if it's like a around mile, the building?
Nah, it's too far. Give me 30 yards.
We had just said it. The only concern with you would be the structural integrity of your hips. Like, if you stay healthy, you'll beat them.
No, hips are good, man. Lubed up, they're good. We're good to go.
All righty then. Wait, okay. Go ahead.
Thousands of bottles.
All right, we're moving on. Just go to DJ in Detroit, 97.1. Deej, what's going on, buddy?
What up, though, fellas?
What's happening?
You got it. Tuesday Lane, happy birthday, my guy.
I appreciate
happy
birthday, you. Man. Thank you, Deej. Appreciate
it. Yeah, definitely. So, Mike, this is actually one of your easier ones. MSU is 3-0. That right there tells us that's the fact that they're 3-0 and not 0-3. They ain't got to prove nothing else to me. That's a blessing. University of Michigan, post-cheating, they're exactly what I thought they would be. I'm a U of M fan, but, you know, they're looking like they were pre-cheating, which is they beat up on their punk teams and then they go against top teams and they don't look too good. So clearly this is my Detroit Lions.
Mm.
Clearly because the Detroit Lions are now the hunted instead of the hunters. How are they going to handle that 2 games in a row? They haven't lost 2 games back-to-back in over a year. How are they going to handle that? Also, Jared Goff has had his 2 worst games of his career. So now the question is, have defenses figured out a way to kind of neutralize him? And also, he's also playing coincidentally shot for UTJ Lane. When those big guys up front, who I've been saying that the key to Jared Goff all along, aren't playing to their all-pro potential, it's a coincidence that he's looking bad. So it's clearly the Lions, without question.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think, you know, we know what the Lions were. We know what they want to be. But, yeah, that doesn't translate just season to season. Now we are tough and physical and disciplined and all these things we want to be. We were that last year. That doesn't mean you're going to be that again this year. No, we've seen portions of that. And I'm like you, Deej, man. Like, I try to not overreact because the offense with – the one thing we all think about is the red zone, right? Man, if you could have scored one touchdown – or kicked a field goal, like that game potentially could have been a blowout. Now it wasn't, but they're not far off. But yeah, every season's different, man. You got to go in, and I still don't feel like they have established enough identity to be comfortable to say, you know what? Yep, they're still the team we saw last year, that tough, gritty team. I think they are, but this is a good weekend to go out there against Arizona and bounce back and
keep
show
them
that
off the field.
And show that you are that team that you were last year, just a resilient team, a team that. Things go bad, you know, we find a way to correct it. Just because you say we've done it in the past doesn't automatically say mean you're going to do it again this week.
Rico and TJ outstanding on the pick so far, including you're both tied.
We should do a podcast about it.
We should.
Yeah, should.
We should get a podcast going.
You totally should. I have one you can take. Enjoy all
the
of
real
it.
Winners.
I'm just busting your balls. Calm down.
I'm saying you guys are tremendous.
That was already taken. So,
a lot of football left.
Oh, yeah, I see what you did there. Look at you. All right, it's time for the picks. Wow. Outstanding. We're asking about Cookies and his cat on the podcast. All right, let's.
Yeah, just don't eat them, all right, Kenny?
All right. Friday night, we actually got a decent football game. Number 24, Illinois at Nebraska. Nebraska laying 7.5. Rico Beard.
Mike, this is going to be Nebraska. They have been partying and tailgating all day long. This Friday game, the crowd will be there. Nebraska will roll Illinois. Give me Nebraska.
Over to Kenny.
There's only one Pat Mahomes. I don't do the look-alike routine. Give me Illinois.
Mr. Hatchett.
Yeah, I hate Patrick Mahomes, so by association, I have to go Illinois here.
TJ Lang, happy birthday.
I'm going to take Illinois as well. I don't think they win the game, but I think they got their big play receivers give them enough chance to stay close in this game.
Nebraska, can't bet coaches who dress in muumuus.
number 12, Utah.
Matt Patricia's?
Basically. Number 12, Utah at number 14, Okie State. Okie State laying 2.5. Rico, fun fact, if you add the quarterback's ages in this game, they're as old as you are.
That's hurtful. That's mean. And you know what? I'm going to go with Utah. I picked Utah to win the Big 12. I think they're going to win this game outright, Utah.
Kenny Cott.
I'm going to go pretty much exactly the opposite of what Rico just said, Oklahoma State.
Okay, then. David.
I'm going to go Utah. This line's been all over the place. I'll stick with Utah.
I know, TJ, you did a deep dive on this game. You know all about it.
Oh, I am a diehard Utah-Oklahoma State junkie. For the sake of trying to break up the scoreboard at the top, Rico, I'm going to take the opposite. Plus, we don't know if Cam Risen's going to play, so I'm going to take Oklahoma State.
Okie State's O-line stinks. They can't get Ollie Gordon going. I don't know. Maybe Rising stays healthy. Give me Utah. Tennessee laying 6.5 at Oklahoma at night. This is the SEC opener for Oklahoma. Mr. Rico Beard.
I'm gonna go with Oklahoma in this game, Mike.
Jesus, Heather.
Game day is going to be there. This is going to be fired up for the crowd. They don't get to play really big games at home because they mostly play them at the Cotton Bowl against Texas. Give me the Sooners.
Kenny Cott.
This was a 7-point spread. Now it's down to 6.5. You're under a touchdown. Give me Tennessee.
Over to David.
I'm also going Tennessee here. Josh Heupel's returning home. Tennessee.
TJ.
Yeah, might be my dumb pick of the week, but I'm going to take Oklahoma. The home dog, Nico, I'm not even going to try to say his last name.
Iamalieva.
Thank you. Really his first test of his young career. Going to be a hostile environment. 6.5 is too many for me. I don't know if they win the game, but I'm going to take Oklahoma.
It's top 15 defense. It's on the road at night. It's a first true road start for a young quarterback. Oklahoma gets back two starting O-linemen this week. They were down to their fourth string center last week. They get back Andrell Anthony, your guy, Rico. They get back Nick Armstrong out wide. I love Oklahoma. Let's do it.
All right. Let's roll.
Boomer Sooner. Michigan State minus Nick Marsh at Boston College, laying 6.5. Ricardo, how are you?
Mike, this is the red bandana game for Boston College. Played at night, but Boston College is 4-6 in the red bandana games. Give me MSU in the points.
God, I hope you're right. Kenny.
Rico, I don't know if your team is any good, but I didn't wear floral on Floral Friday, and I'm sorry, so I will pick Michigan State in the points.
Over to David.
That's a poor excuse to pick Michigan State. I'm going Boston College.
Kenneth.
Oh, that's TJ. Thank you. I will take.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Thank you. Sorry. Appreciate it.
Caffeine ain't kicked in yet.
the no Nick Marsh rumors, don't know if it's going to be true or not, have me a little bit worried. Boston College is the tough team.
Do a test. Look him in the eye. He's a man of God. He can't lie to you.
Is Nick Marsh playing? Oh, he looked up. Football. Yeah, he ain't playing. No. All right. I'm going to take.
No, he plays football.
200 tomorrow.
He plays football.
Boston College right is tough, man. 200 yards a game on the ground. I think they're going to be too physical for the Spartans. I'm going to take BC. In a 7-point game. Not a blowout. They're going to cover.
I'm not mad at you. I'll take BC, too. I got to see it to believe it with this state team. Let's go to Michigan, USC. This ought to be easy for you guys. Go ahead, Rico.
Yeah, I think Michigan coming in struggling against not just Texas, but even in their wins, they did not look dominant. They're switching new quarterbacks to Alex Orji. I think Miller Moss is going to come in here. Kenny, to use your phrase, orbital ramming speed, USC.
Kenny.
Yeah, I kept picking Michigan. They kept screwing me. So enough of that. I'm going USC.
David.
One last time. Run the ball, Michigan.
TJ.
Yeah, David, the only problem, they're going to run the ball, but they're going to be down a couple scores, so it won't even matter. We talked about this game a bunch. I'm going to take USC.
One last free roll. Maybe it's 24-20 final. Give me U of M one last time. Let's go to Sunday in the National Football League. the rat bleep line of the week. Texans laying two as they travel to Minnesota. Rico.
This is going to be a little bit of a revenge game. Danielle Hunter going home. Steph Diggs actually going back to where he started. Give me the Texans.
Over to Kenny Cott.
I don't know how you bet this game. I don't know how the Vikings are 2-0. I don't know anything about this game, actually, so I'll just take the Texans.
Over to David.
Delshon Phillips plays for the Texans. He went to Cass Tech. CT beat King tonight. I'm going Houston.
Mm. Oh, that is tonight.
Oh, my God.
TJ.
Man, this is a tough pick. I don't think Minnesota's...
Honestly,
what did I miss? I miss
hope you I'm just so get diarrhea for the entire week.
I'm so sorry.
I'm going to take Minnesota. I think Sam Darnold's playing good football. He's taking care of the football. He's accurate. Look, I'm not going to say he's a Pro Bowl guy, but he's got something rolling right now. I'm going to take Minnesota to win.
Spread looks weird. Give me the Vikings. Chargers, Steelers, first 1-10 wins. Steelers laying 1.5. Go ahead, Rico.
Don't know if Justin Herbert's going to play. Looks like he's game time decision. I don't think that matters because the Steelers can't score points. So give me the Chargers.
Over to Kenny.
I am with you, Rico. The Steelers really can't score. I'll take the Chargers.
Justin Herbert's dealing with a high ankle sprain. Steelers, we're home again. Feels so good. Lock Russell up. Steelers.
Yeah, David, I'm with you. I'm going to take the Steelers. Chargers have been really leaning on that run game. Questionable, probably doubtful Justin Herbert. Steelers aren't just going to let the Chargers come in and run the ball all over them like they have been the first couple weeks. So I think the Steelers might not even need a touchdown to win, but they're going to win this game, David. Yeah,
big
I'm with you.
Big 3-0 win.
Big 6-0.
It's also the Steelers' home opener. Home field matters.
Yep.
Why not?
Mike Tomlin, man. He's a hell of a coach.
Give it a free roll. Give me the Steelers. Eagles at the Saints. This was a 7-point spread a week ago. It's now Saints all the way to the other side. Saints favored by 2.5.
Wow.
Rico.
They crossed the bridge, Mike, and I think the Saints keep this thing rolling. I don't even think they know who their punter is because they just score points, and they're going to continue to score points. Eagles are still deflated from what happened on Monday night. Give me the Saints.
Kenny.
Yeah, the bridge crossing is kind of throwing me off. I'm going to take the Chargers. Hopefully it's not a rake.
Well, considering it's Saints
I'm sorry,
Eagles.
The Eagles. The Eagles. Damn it. Looking at the wrong game.
He did it again. I'm just going to stick with the Saints here.
This is difficult because I hate both teams. Oh. I don't like Nick Sirianni, and I really don't like Derek Carr.
I know.
And I really, really don't think the Saints can keep doing what they've been doing the first couple weeks.
But are the Eagles any good?
I'm going to say this week they are.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Eagles.
I'll go Saints. I hate the Eagles. I can't do it anymore. And Sirianni.
You don't hate the Saints? You don't hate Derek Carr? Everybody hates Derek Carr.
I was just going to say, I don't think about Derek Carr. Sirianni's got a very punchable face. Ravens, Cowboys. I mean, this is as pressure-packed as it gets. Ravens juicy. Laying 1, 0-2 at the 1-1 Cowboys. Rico Beard.
Yeah, I was surprised to see that this is, the first time Lamar's ever been in Dallas? So this is a desperate Ravens team. They know that if they go 0-3, that's it. Their season is over. They're going to go in there. They're going to win. Give me the Ravens.
Over to Kenny.
Yeah, for a regular season good team like the Ravens, I think they absolutely need this win, so give me Baltimore.
You guys are wrong. I'll go with the black quarterback that just most recently got paid. I'm going with Dallas.
For similar reasons that Rico and Kenny displayed, I think Baltimore's too good to start 0-3, so I'm going to take the Ravens on the road.
The roll line sucks. They've given up the most passing yards in the whole sport, and for some reason, penalties are the thing they do best. I'm out on the Ravens. Give me Dallas.
0-3 start for Baltimore.
I know. And then finally the media might talk about Lamar in real terms because he stinks.
Well, Dallas has a win.
No, I'm saying the Ravens go
0-3.
Lions, 3-point favorites in the desert. Rico will be in attendance. He's flipping the opening coin.
Oh, yeah.
At Arizona. You know the red zone? He runs it.
Whoa. Congratulations.
Nick Marsh will be there right there with me.
Yeah, because he won't be in Boston.
Go ahead. <boy. laughs> What was that?
Flum us.
I'm going to go. Look, when you play Arizona, Arizona always has the lead and teams come back on them. That's been what they've been doing. They've been scoring a lot of points. They got a mobile QB. That's been the Lions' bugaboo.
Uh-oh.
Give me the Cardinals and the points.
Kenny Cott.
From negative and black to positive and white, Lions.
You're David. Wrong. Cardinals.
TJ?
I think it's going to be a tight game. I think it's going to come down to a Jake Bates field goal. I'm feeling like a 31-30 win for the Lions, which means the Cardinals are going to cover.
Give me the Lions. I'll take the three. I'll lay the three. God, it's brutal, man. All right, those are the picks. TJ, happy birthday.
Thank you.
You're not sticking around?
Go celebrate. No. I'd love to celebrate with you guys.
He can't be bothered.
I heard this was a dry studio, so I'm going to get out of here.
He can't be bothered. He's got to start his copious binge drinking. All right, we'll talk to you. Happy birthday, buddy.
See you next week.
97.1.